Deer Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
TNVR Broncos podcast coming to you live from, I don't even know what studio this is. This is like studio C.5 because Zach's at home. I'm on the road. It's nice and early in the morning. You've got Broncos OTA starting today, so I guess we got to start with a Broncos are back.
Broncos and are then, back, baby.
And we're going to discuss some of these position battles that are going to be kind of kicking off today. Now, I think it's important to note that in the grand scheme of things, OTAs plays a much smaller role in these position battles heading into training camp. But it's almost like training camp is the NCAA tournament and OTAs is the regular season, right? You're playing for seeding heading into the tournament. And the better seed you have, the better chance you have of bringing it home. So regular season starts today in this metaphor.
I love that, Ryan. I think that's a perfect metaphor. And with this coaching staff, with it being a new coaching staff, I think these OTAs are a little more important than other OTAs. At least I'm hoping so, because Ryan, last year, remember, we had Teddy versus Drew. We were following their every throw during OTAs. And then at the very end of OTAs, Vic comes out and says, yeah, OTAs are probably 2% of the battle. And I'm going, oh my gosh, I just wasted a whole month for 2% of this battle. So I think you're 100% right. I think training camp is where it's at. But this is for seeding. I love that analogy.
Yes. And we'll talk a little bit about that. But first, a shout out to our presenting sponsor, DraftKings Sportsbook, that sent me a bag of cash yesterday.
Goodness, Ryan, me too, baby.
Let's go. Justin Thomas to win the PGA. I put it in on Thursday morning, first thing when I woke up. And I got to be honest, when I woke up on Sunday, I didn't make any new bets on the tournament. I just had three guys. I had Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa, and John Rahm. I woke up on Sunday. I was like, well, this kind of sucks. All of my guys are dead. They're just dead in the water. They're out. Only one other person had ever come back from seven strokes down to win a major championship. Wow. And Justin Thomas pulls it off thanks to a little bit of a choke job from Mito Pereira. And DraftKings, you know, just sends me a bag of cash. It was great.
Man, what a way to end the weekend, Ryan. That's it. That's incredible. Honestly, too bad you didn't just double down on Justin before the start of the day.
Yeah, I assume his odds would have been even worse. Like 25-1 or something going into yesterday at least. And I got him at 18-1.
Oh, well, that's still pretty darn good.
Yeah. It's pretty good. okay. So shout out DraftKings Sportsbook. You can also bet $5 and you'll just get $150 in free bets when you bet on any NBA money line. Warriors seem like a good place to put your money right now. So keep pounding that probably. But either way, even if you pick the Mavericks in any of these first three games, you'd still get your $150 in free bets from our friends over at DraftKings Sportsbook. So check them out and get those bets in, especially on the Avs tonight.
Yes, let's go, my boy Ryan. Like you said, the Broncos are back, baby. I'm so pumped for today. Going to be out at Dove Valley. And Ryan, I think we actually may be doing a little show after OTAs as well to give you the updated. So make sure to stay tuned. Hit us with a like on a thumbs up on YouTube. Subscribe. Turn on alerts so you know anytime we're going live, because when the Broncos are in season, and this is kind of like a miniature season, we could be going live at any time, and we would love it if you're rolling with us live.
Absolutely. Also, speaking of the Avs, really quick, I'm in the DC area right now, looking for a place to watch the game tonight. Got a couple suggestions, but I know we have a lot of listeners out here in this area. So if anyone has, like, I'm looking for like the hockey bar. I've yet to get anyone who's like, oh, this is the hockey bar. So if you can point me in the right direction, like, I'm talking about a place that has like what's that called? Dome hockey. You know what I'm talking about? The little, like, it's like foosball, but for hockey.
The game, right? Yes, yeah. Of course.
Yeah. But, like, if they have that, then I'm like, oh, that's a hockey bar.
Didn't we have one of those in the studio at the bar at some point?
We did. It's probably one of the
seen it in a while.
Many things that got broken by the Neanderthals that walk the studios at DNVR.
You're calling me out. Isn't that what you're doing right
yes,
now?
Yes, exactly. Especially you. That when people think Neanderthal, they think Zach Stevens.
I mean, I look like one, I guess.
All right, so let's jump into this. Broncos OTA starting today, like we mentioned. And there are position battles on this team that are going to kick off and at least, you know, give us an idea of who the seeds are heading in. Zach, where do you want to start?
Well, let's start with running back. And Ryan, how I'm going to view this, especially just because I love your analogy, is coming into today, there's kind of preseason rankings. Yeah. So then this is the regular season where teams actually get to show who they are, players get to show who they are. But the offseason still told us about where this organization thinks some position battles are. And if we start at running back, I think this is going to be a very, very close battle. I think we both agree on that. But as preseason rankings goes, it's got to be Javonte Williams as the number one here. And yes, they did bring Melvin Gordon back. Yes, he can get up to $4 million with his contract. But Ryan, here's the thing, is they let Melvin Gordon sit on the market for about a month. And Melvin wanted to test the waters, and they allowed him to do that. If you have a guy that you don't want to leave, you sign him up before free agency starts. You Absolutely. Sign him on day one. And so that, to me, tells me that they are way okay and totally fine with Javonte being that one. Now, saying that, I still think Melvin's going to get so much of the carries and a big percentage of the workload. I just think in this preseason rankings, Javonte's number one.
Yeah, I think you're completely right. He is the preseason number one, and it's not in like – in the grand scheme of things, in the more, it's not even like Melvin is like season number two. You know what I mean? Like, there's a big gap there. The voters are saying, like, this team is the top team in the country. This other team, they have a chance to make the tournament. And they're probably going to make the tournament. But with that being said, this is one of those things where I think the preseason voters are getting a little bit ahead of themselves. And I agree with everyone in the comments saying, like, a guy that spent the month in free agency can't be the starter. Javonte RB1 is a lock. They wouldn't have waited to re-sign MG if it's different. I agree with all those things. But once these guys get on the field, I've said it once, I'll say it again, Melvin Gordon is such a consistent player. Now, we all know the elephant in the room is his fumbling issues, but if you set those aside, and it's easy to in practice, especially if he's not fumbling in practice,
yeah,
you're just going to see 4 yards, 5 yards, 6 yards, 4 yards, 6 yards, 8 yards. And Javonte, you might see 2, 2, 2, 12, 20, 2, 4. And so I just know how coaches are. I haven't been on this earth for too long, but I've spent a lot of my years on this earth around coaches, and coaches like consistency. They like what they can believe in. They like what they can count on. You know, I think you'll see tonight in the Avs game, they got to replace Sam Girard. Well, I think you'll see, you know, Jared Bednar go with the guy that he trusts. most. Maybe not even the guy he thinks is the best, but just the guy that he's like, you know what? I know we're going to get from this guy. He's out there. He's not going to do anything great, but I think he's also not going to do anything terrible. And Melvin is so consistent, and he's such a good running back. His vision is great. He just checks off so many boxes. And I'm just letting people know, you know, remember, Nathaniel Hackett doesn't have anchor bias to either of these guys. He's fresh slate with both of them. I would find it hard. I'll say this. I would not be surprised at all if Nathaniel Hackett falls in love with Melvin Gordon.
And Ryan, I could see that happening as the season progresses. So we're not talking about Melvin starting all 16 games like he did last year. The only game he didn't start was when he was hurt, and Javonte only starting one. We could see it where Javonte starts the first seven. And then we see if this plays out, like you said, about how Melvin's a consistent 5 yards and Javonte's the 2-220. If we see that happen in the beginning of the season, then I could certainly see Melvin getting the starts, or at least the bulk of the carries, the 55% of the share as the season goes on. And as it just gets into even more important games and more important possessions.
And here's what I'll say that's maybe the most exciting thing. You know, we're basing what we're saying about Javonte off of last season. And there's absolutely a world in which he's just much better than that. And maybe he learned from Melvin Gordon, and now he's the guy who also gets 4-4-4. But instead of the twos, those are now, you know, it's 4-4-4-20. And that's the case. Then Javonte will not relinquish that starting job. And that's the best case scenario for the Broncos. But when they run the ball, they're doing an act. It's like a bit that they're doing when they run the ball. They're like, ah, look at us. We're running the ball. Like, we gotcha.
We're being cute here.
Yeah, exactly. And when they do that, it has to work. And right. If there's a hole there, it has to be hit. And I'm obviously exaggerating a little bit. I think this team actually wants to run the ball. I bet you internally they're saying 60-40 right now. And I think in the end, it'll get closer to 70-30, but that is probably going to be the most in the AFC West. You know, I think that, Kansas City sitting over there and they're like, wow, 80-20, that would be a great balance for us. and Brandon Saley's over there saying like, according to my calculations, running the ball doesn't make sense at all. So we're never running it. And obviously, Derek Carr is just going to be, well, I'm just going to audible throw it to Davante Adams every time anyway.
Screw Broncos, you, Josh.
Yeah, the Broncos are still going to be, you know, the team that probably runs the ball the most in this division, I guess. But that being said, you know, I think when they're going to say, okay, well, if we're going to run the ball, if we're going to take the ball out of Russell Wilson's hands, better be profitable for us. We better be on or ahead of schedule when we do it.
Yeah, exactly. And Archer comes in with a good point saying Melvin's a better scheme fit. He has the vision to play in zone blocking. And I think that's something that we've seen from Melvin. I don't want to write Javonte off that he can't do that, but Melvin so far is more proven in that. And that's a good point as well with the new coaching staff. And so, Ryan, I think this is the juiciest position battle, especially because it's the sexy position outside of quarterback and throwing the ball. That this is going to be the sexy one. We knew that there was a battle last year going on, and this is the matchup I think we're going to be watching in OTAs.
Yeah, and I think, man, what a relief that's the biggest and most important one. And it's not the quarterback position. The weirdest part about this is it feels like we've been in a everlasting quarterback battle, but we really only had three out of the last 6 years were actual quarterback battles. Of course, you had like the Case Keenum year where he was the starter, the Joe Flacco year where he was the starter, and the Drew Lock year where he was the starter. And it just feels like everything's been a quarterback battle, but now there's a definitive starter and we're not, you know, trying to spin it into being a player who might be able to capture the best ball of their career.
Oh, exactly. And now, Ryan, there is going to be a quarterback battle, and I think this is one that we can hit on pretty quickly, but backup quarterback, you know, hopefully, and I'm touching tons of wood right now, hopefully this doesn't matter in the end. But this will be very important if Russ isn't able to play at some point this year. Josh Johnson versus Brett Rypien. And to me, Ryan, I think it's pretty clear. I think this is Josh Johnson's job. It is a competition, which I think is interesting. I think that's just, I think the organization just likes Brett Rypien, and this is how they're showing, like, thanks for what you're doing. We really like all the hard work you put in. But this has to be Josh Johnson's job. You said with the running backs that Nathaniel Hackett did not have a horse in the race because he wasn't here when they brought either of those guys into the organization. Well, that's not the case with Josh Johnson. He was brought in with this coaching staff here. So I think it's the veteran.
Yeah, unfortunately, because I would love to see number 11 become available for Nick Benito. but that being said, I would also prefer Josh Johnson as the backup quarterback over Brett Rypien. And that's not a knock on Brett. It's just, we're talking about almost polar opposites here. We're talking about a guy with one start in his NFL career versus a guy with, dozens. He's been with more than a dozen teams. He's been around for years. He's seen everything. He's a career backup in every sense of the word. And he knows that, and he accepts that, and he's just going to be here to support Russell Wilson and come in if he needs to.
Yep, exactly. I completely agree. And there's so many other positions here, Ryan, but you were wondering where you can watch the Avs game in DC. Well, if you're in Denver, there's no question about it. You come to the DNVR bar, especially for an away game, but Ball Arena is not going to have anyone in it. The DNVR bar is going to be lit tonight. And what's just another huge game. Thankfully, the Avs were able to pull it off in a pretty convincing way on Saturday night. This would be a huge win for the Avs, and it's going to be so much fun over at the DNVR bar. So come right after work in order to get some dinner, grab a seat because it is going to be popping. So come check us out. And also on our website, if you want the best coverage of Broncos OTAs, Nuggets, Avs, Rockies, everything, go to thednvr.com. And when you sign up for an annual membership, you get a free DNVR shirt. You, of course, get the member size beers over at the DNVR bar. So join our fam and come down to the bar.
Love it. Nothing better than watching an Avs game at the bar, especially an away game. Go down there. I will be jealous and sad that I'm not joining you there tonight. also, want to give a shout out to our friends at Breck Brew, where you can get those, of course, at the DNVR bar, but you can get them just about anywhere. Use the Breck Brew locator on their website, and they are going to tell you where the nearest Breck Brews are for you. Of course, I can't recommend anything more than an Avalanche Amber Ale during the playoffs. They are delicious. They're fitting. They're great. Like, just a solid beer. I feel like it's just one of those beers that you're having. You're like, damn, this was just a well-thought-out, purposeful beer. So check it out. Get yourself an Avalanche Amber Ale or any of the other 8 ones we have on tap at the DNVR bar. Or, again, check out their Breck Brew locator to find out what they have near you.
Ryan, it just came out that Kyler Murray is not going to be at OTAs. And boy, it just gives me so much relief that we got Russ here. Don't have to worry about quarterbacks. Don't have to worry about quarterback battles. Don't have to worry about quarterbacks not being there at OTAs. But maybe Kyler Murray is thinking about joining the American Raptors, because what the American Raptors are doing is they're taking athletes that have played different sports other than rugby and bringing them in to learn the game of rugby. And last year they went 5-5. Maybe this year they'll go 7-3, especially if Kyler decides to join them, being a former baseball player and football player going over to rugby. Or he'll just get smashed like I would if I played rugby as well. But you can check out everything that they're doing over at the American Raptors, which is such a cool thing, over at Infinity Park in Glendale, Ryan. It's only about a 15-minute drive from the DNVR bar, so you can check both of those out. And they have free tickets by going to AmericanRaptors.com. You can also watch their games over at AmericanRaptors.com. So check out everything they've got going on at AmericanRaptors.com.
Yeah, really no better way to like spend a day with the family, especially if you're, trying to save a couple bucks. Like, free event, great way to be out in the sun, hanging out. If you want some beers, they got those too. I mean, it's a great, great place, great event over there that the American Raptors put on. All right, let's move on here. Where are we going next, Zach?
Let's stick on the offensive side, and we've talked tight end a lot, Ryan. Oh, you hear me? Well, I got you guys, so I'm going to keep talking here. But tight end, Ryan, we've talked about it a lot recently, and the tight end position, where does the preseason ranking stand, Ryan?
This is so interesting. I think the preseason rankings have... I mean, I don't, I guess you would go Dulcich. I'm going off of what you keep telling me, which is that they drafted Greg Dulcich to be the starter. No one else on this team profiles that way. So I think he's being considered like the upstart, you know, Cinderella story, that, you know, just came out of nowhere and is coming in high in the preseason rankings.
Yeah, and I think you're on to something. And with the preseason rankings, I don't really think it matters right now, because I think by the end of OTAs, Ryan, it's going to be, okay, going into the postseason, we've got Greg Dulcich being the number one seed, and then he's just going to run away with it in training camp. And we've talked about it, and I fully believe that Greg Dulcich is going to be the week one starter. Albert O, man, I really hope they use him on this offense, because he is such a threat, being 6'5", 250 pounds, running a 4.49 40. That has a dangerous place in the NFL, but they clearly just do not view him as an all-around tight end right now. And so I think that's going to hurt him when it comes to being not just a starter who's out there first, but being who they trust and who they feel they can put in there on a down-to-down basis, not just tipping their hand when it's a passing down. We got you, Ryan. Oh, no, we lost him. And so I think that's where we are with the tight end position. And now let's move inside to the offensive line, where going into OTAs, there's only two positions in my mind that are surefire they have starters. That is Garrett Bowles at left tackle and Quinn Miner. It's at who knows where. We talked to Quinn at the end of last week, and he said he's playing some right guard, playing some left guard, probably a little more comfortable with the right guard position just because that's where he's played in the NFL more. But he's also going to be playing some center. Now, Lloyd Cushenberry has been getting the majority of snaps at center in the offseason phase one and two program. But Quinn Miner is a guy who's been getting some snaps there, and he said a very interesting thing. Quinn Miner said his snaps at center are going to start ramping up. So I don't know where Lloyd Cushenberry or where Quinn Miner is going to be playing on the offensive line, but he and Garrett Bowles are going to be starters. Outside of that, obviously, right tackle, you got a competition between three guys. Left guard, Dalton Reisner. I do not think his job is safe. I think you're going to have Dalton Reisner, Graham Glasgow going for a job, Natani Muti as well. And then center, going into the OTAs, Lloyd Cushenberry certainly has the upper hand there. I think that Dalton Reisner has the upper hand at one of the guard spots. But at right tackle, that is a huge one. We know it is a three-way competition. And Ryan, coming into this, we talk about who the coaching staff likes. Do they have a dog in the race? Nobody likes Billy Turner more than Nathaniel Hackett. Billy Turner is Nathaniel Hackett's guy on and off the field. Brought him over from Green Bay, where they spent the past 3 years together, and Turner started the majority of games there. He's the Broncos' right tackle. I think Calvin Anderson can play great to unseat him, but to me, it's pretty darn clear that this is Billy Turner's job to lose.
And that just makes the most sense. I mean, we're talking about a guy who's familiar with the scheme. We're talking about a guy who probably outranks the other guys in terms of talent. So he's got the mental advantage. He's got the physical advantage. And he's got the, you know, bias advantage, if you want to call it that, in terms of familiarity with the coach. They're like I think Nathaniel Hackett might have even described it as a bromance at one point. So, like, it's not looking good for the other guys. And I think that, you know, for where we're coming from, like, this is the best case scenario. You want, if Billy Turner's the starter, it means, like, you signed this guy, you're paying him a decent chunk of money, and he's living up to what you expect from him. So it's not, you know, It's not a wide open competition, but it shouldn't be. He's probably the best option for them. You obviously want to give those other two guys a chance, especially Calvin Anderson. I think he's earned the right to get a look at it. But if all goes according to the plan, Billy Turner should win this job.
Yeah, he should. And now we also have Tom Compton, who does have a connection to this staff. He's coming over with Butch Berry, who's the offensive line coach. But Ryan, you have one guy that's connected with the offensive line coach. You have the other guy that's connected with the head coach and play caller. Billy Turner's got the edge when it comes to that.
Yep. And I mean, you know, if these guys play up to their potential, you can kind of make the case of this being a good offensive line. It obviously mostly comes down to Garrett Bowles and Billy Turner. Like, if those two guys play well, you're saying, like, this offensive line ceiling is pretty damn high.
Yeah, 100%. All right, Ryan, is there a battle at wide receiver? Or is it just if everyone's – the only battle I can think of, if everyone's healthy, would be Tim Patrick and Jerry Jeudy. They play different roles, obviously, but it comes down to the question that I asked you last week, week seven. The Broncos in the fourth quarter have two wide receivers on the field. Who is it? And I'm still going Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, but I don't think it's crazy to say that Tim Patrick can push Jerry Jeudy out of there, especially by week seven.
Yeah, I think this is like a battle for Russ's love. Like, this is like the Bachelor football style. It's like we're calling it receive my love.
Catch my heart.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So this just comes down to, like, everyone is trying to get in Russ's good graces as much as they possibly can. You know, who has the first impression, Rose? According to me, it would be Tim Patrick. But, like, Jerry Jeudy already got one of those solo dates. I forget what they call those. But, he, you know.
Is it just one-on-ones?
Yeah, he got a one-on-one. so, like, the battle is heating up. Cortland Sutton, obviously, you know, in the openings, everyone was like, oh, he's got a real shot here because, you know, yeah, he looks great. He's got all the physical attributes.
He, like, knew the Bachelorette's sister and they had met a couple of times before.
Yes, exactly. It's a hot contested race. You know, it's going to be interesting to see who makes it to hometowns, who it comes down to in the final ceremony. But that's what this battle is. It's not a battle for a position. It's a battle for who's going to get the most catches.
Yeah, and KJ Hamler is the contestant that's coming on 2 weeks late because of some reason. And he just has an opportunity to take away time and catches from these other contestants. But he is the wild card here, and the wild card that we certainly aren't counting on right now. And the Broncos are okay if KJ Hamler, let's say, I mean, he's coming back from two significant injuries. If he takes a year to come back, that should not ruin this passing offense. They should be totally okay. But man, Ryan, if he's there, oh man, does he bring the heartthrob to this group?
Yep. I think we got to workshop the name of the show, because this show's gonna consume some time. You know, like, the season's just getting started. We've still got plenty of episodes left.
I absolutely love it. But there is a different side of the ball, Ryan. There is a defensive side of the ball. And I want to start with outside linebackers. Is there a battle here? Or do you have another analogy for what this battle is like?
Interesting. This is, like, less a battle and more just a party. Everyone's invited. It's like, one and two are decided, right? It's Randy Gregory and Bradley Chubb. So, you know, no one's fighting for a position, but it's like, hey, you know, party at the quarterback. Everyone's invited. Who's coming? I don't really think anyone in this group is getting left out. At least, you know, of the people that we think of. It's Bradley. It's Randy Gregory. It's Malik Reed. It's Jonathan Cooper. And then
Nick Bonito.
Yeah, obviously Nick Bonito, and I was going to get there, but Baron Browning is, like, the ultimate wild card. We don't really know what what he is or what he's going to do. We kind of think we have an idea. We're not going to know until we see it out there on the field. But no, I don't think any of those players are getting cut.
No, I agree. And Jose puts it in the comments, I think pretty perfectly. He says, it's a battle to see who does not get traded. And Ryan, I mean, they keep talking about you can have enough pass rushers. You can never have enough pass rushers. And that's true, but are you going to really keep six outside linebackers? Maybe like we talked about last week, you count Browning as an inside linebacker, but if they're just so dead set on him being an outside linebacker, if they're not going to carry six, I don't think. No. So I think it is a guy that is traded, and Nick Bonitto is not going to be traded before the start of the season. It's not going to be Bradley Chubb or Randy Gregory, obviously. So then it comes down Jonathan Cooper, Malik Reed. In my mind right now, it does seem more of like a Malik Reed situation here. Baron Browning, I just don't think he's the guy unless some team comes in and blows you away. But I think this is what this is. And Ryan, if we want to equate it to a TV show, I mean, this is a hospital drama that's going on here, because it's who stays healthy. And if those top two guys stay healthy, well, then they're your starters without a doubt. If one of them doesn't, oh man, we're going to have some drama in the backup spot.
Well, and I think it's important to note in this quote unquote battle or, you know, a hospital TV show is Randy Gregory is not going to be participating in this part of the thing. So everyone else gets a little extra time to shine, a little extra airtime.
It's a really, really good point. Yes, definitely. Now inside, Ryan, defensive line, we got Draymond Jones, who's a starter. We got DJ Jones, who is for sure a starter. DJ Jones, not exactly sure what position he's going to be starting at, if it's end, if it's nose tackle. So some other guys that you have in there, McTelvin Ajim, you got my guy Innie, and then you have Mike Purcell as well. This is another weird battle because there's some variables here.
Yeah, this is a little bit of a one gotta go, I think. And it feels easy right now to say Mike Purcell is the odd man out because he hasn't contributed in a long time. With that being said, it was easy to say Mike Purcell was the odd man out when he got here, you know, and I think it was Vic Fangio who told John Elway, because John called him and said, hey, what do you think of Mike Purcell? Should I sign him? He said, yeah, be careful, because if you bring him in for camp, you're going to want to keep him around. And they were right. He was right. They did want to keep him around. So he's, you know, kind of like that guy that just never goes away. And that's a good thing. You know, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. He's makes plays. He stops the gap. He's a big, big force in there. But they're not keeping all of these guys. And so I think this is a bit of a battle. This is a, you know, a one gotta go type of battle.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think it is the youth movement that the Broncos go with this direction. I think it will be Innie who eventually is that starter. But Ryan, I don't think it's going to be make that much of a difference who ends up being the starter because of the Broncos playing so much dime, so much nickel. It's going to be the Draymond Jones and the DJ Jones. It's going to be the Joneses show on the defensive line. Those are going to be the guys that you're counting on to be big time players. And if they are, even when you have three defensive linemen, Ryan, you're going to be able to plug the other spot just fine. If you need a pass rush, well, you go to the guy that just had 9 sacks on the defensive line in college last year with Innie. If you need a run stuffer, man, Mike Purcell next to DJ Jones, next to Draymond Jones, that's pretty darn good in terms of getting big bodies up there, especially if Bradley Chubb's able to play the run like we know he's able to. That's pretty good, even for just going three defensive linemen.
So do you think all of those guys will be around?
I think, man, Mike Purcell really is the biggest wild card here because right now I would say no. And I think they could save a couple $1 million by moving on from him. But if he stays healthy, that may just be something that the Broncos say, man, another good run stuffer. We don't want to pass up. But right now he would be the odd man out.
And I like what you said there. Like you could get really big. If you need to, like you do play the Titans this year, you know, if you need to get really big and you want to line up Mike Purcell over the nose and then DJ Jones off the side, that is appealing. With that being said, all I've been saying all offseason is you don't really need run stuffing players because you're playing in the AFC West and no one wants to run the ball here. So It depends on, you know, how Evero feels and obviously how George Payton feel about the way they want to construct this roster. It kind of feels like if you need it, you know, if you're going up against one of these run heavy teams, I think there's one other team on the schedule that I'm blanking right now that you look at and you're like, oh, they like to pound the rock. It feels like a Mike Purcell-esque player would probably just be available on the street that week. You could just go get them and say, hey, we need a 350-pound dude to send, you know, to sit in the middle here and make things a little bit difficult. So with that being said, I think it's going to be tough for Mike Purcell to make the team. But it's always tough for Mike Purcell to make the team. He keeps making teams.
Yeah, it's a really good point. He just won't go away. And like you said, Ryan, that's actually a good thing. And speaking of run stuffers, Josey Jewell, he is a starter. He is the starting inside linebacker. I definitely thought there was going to be a competition for who that number one inside linebacker was when Baron Browning was an inside linebacker. That's how good I thought he was he could compete with a guy that's getting $5.5 million like Josey Jewell is this year. But they said, nah, at least for right now, he's still a very much an outside linebacker, Baron Browning is. So to me, the number one spot is really all that matters that much, because I think the Broncos are going to like to have Caden Stearns in instead of a second inside linebacker. They're going to want other players that don't play the inside linebacker position to be there with Josey. So I think Josey is clearly the number one guy. But then you have Jonas Griffith. Then you have Alex Singleton. You do have some depth pieces there as well.
Yeah, and here's something that I find really interesting, Zach, and I think you're the one who told me this. Justin Simmons was wearing the green dot, is that right? Yeah. The last time you saw these guys on the field. And that, I think, is for a very specific reason. Not only the fact that he might be the smartest dude on the field and he's obviously the leader of the defense. That's important too, but usually most coaches like to have that be someone in the middle of the defense, because they've got to communicate with everyone. So what it tells me is that they're planning on taking Josey Jewell off the field a decent amount. And that means there is a big spot open in the dime type defenses for a Jonas Griffith. And I think that is the spot that's up for grabs. Now, it also could be Baron Browning. I don't know. You know, we could see them say like, okay, well, yeah, in sub, he's an outside linebacker, but in some of these pass heavy packages, we want to bring him out there as an outside. We want to bring him on in the inside to, you know, use his athleticism and kind of play like a spy role in the middle there. They could go any which way. I think to start, I would still give Josey the nod, just because, again, he's going to understand where to be the most. But I think Jonas, I think several of these guys have a chance to say, hey, look, I can be a weapon for us in these dime defenses.
And I think Jonas Griffith is the guy who you're most intrigued by, because he has all the physical traits. And last year when we saw him on the field just a little bit, he looked really good. And so that's the guy where you say, okay, what type of upside does he have? Because remember, the Broncos, they traded for him as just purely a special teams guy. He got in the building and they said, oh my gosh, this guy's got it all from an inside linebacker. Let's see if it translates to the field. And then it did behind the scenes. That's why he was able to get some time. So Ryan, I think that's a good point there. When we go outside, yeah.
Real quick, Trey just brought up some of the names on the Broncos schedule. He reminded me, it was the Ravens. You know, he brought up a few that I would just shrug off, but the Ravens are the one team where it's like, okay, yeah, their main goal is to run the ball on you. If you can't stop that, you're done. He also brought up McCaffrey.
Until he stays healthy.
I'm just not like, he's a weapon. He's not a runner that you say like, oh, we need a nose tackle in there for. ETN never even played.
Nope.
And then Austin Eckler, they don't hand the ball to him. Like, they just want to throw
weapons.
It.
He's a weapon in the pass game.
Exactly. Definitely not a guy who you say, oh, we need to bring in a run heavy front for. So yeah. There's two, in my opinion, there's two on the schedule, the Ravens and the Titans, where you say like, okay, you better game plan around stopping the run, because if you don't stop the run, they'll never stop running it. You have to take that away and force them to do other things.
Yep. And one of the things that that will cause people not to pass the ball if they don't have to is on the outsides, Ryan, at cornerback. That is a position of strength for the Broncos. You've got three pretty surefire starters, in my opinion. You have Pat Surtain, obviously. Ronald Darby's your cornerback, too. And then Kwon Williams in the slot. You have OJ Mudia. You have some other depth guys. But, I mean, the drop between those starting three and everyone else is really significant in my mind. And, look, I like what Michael OJ Mudia can bring, but I think he's pretty far away from taking Ronald Darby's spot.
Absolutely. And they don't even want him to do that. You know what I mean? Like, they want Ronald Darby to lock down the number two role. And I think he's a very solid number two NFL corner. So again, it's not a position that you're like looking to replace. Now, if Michael OJ Mudia goes out there and balls out, he's absolutely capable of being that type of player, but it does feel like this is pretty locked in. The back end of the group is where you're fighting for.
Exactly. Speaking of,
someone brought up earlier, I think it was the homie Jose, who said, is there any chance an undrafted guy makes it this year? Well, as we know with the Broncos history, there's always a chance. And for me, the guy I'm putting my finger on to be that guy this year is Jaquan McMillan, the corner out of East Carolina. He was nice. And I think in a normal draft, remember, this is kind of a double draft because of all the guys who stayed around for COVID. I think in a normal draft, he gets drafted. I think he's a gem that the Broncos got there. So.
I like that, Ryan. And now one in terms of talent that I like, not to your surprise, Alabama's Chris Allen, an edge rusher who super talented, really good, but just has dealt with injuries, multiple injuries. And just the thing that makes it tough is he's at a position of strength and depth for the Broncos already right now. But he's a guy whose name we're going to keep hearing as well. And speaking of our comment section, to move to safety, Ryan, Trey Bailey, the second comment we had on this live stream before we even started, he said, "What's up, dudes? K-Jack versus Stearns is honestly the most intriguing position battle to me this offseason." And of course,
you know, K-Jack.
I was going to say, you know, that raises my eyebrows hearing that. That came from Trey, not Zach Stevens. And Ryan is obviously, no one would ever say that Justin Simmons' position is in doubt. Is Kareem Jackson's up in the air entering OTAs?
No. When they brought back Kareem, it told me, now, of course, they were cool with letting him go, so that tells you something as well. But I think what the Broncos are saying is, hey, Caden's time is coming. It could be anytime. We'd prefer it not be right now. So they brought back K-Jack. He's going to be the starter heading into the season. They're going to slowly phase in Caden more and more. Don't tell K-Jack. I'm not sure if he's going to be an every down player this year. Not even necessarily because of himself. Just because the Broncos are going to say, hey, we got to get Caden more out there more because next year he is our starter. So they're going to slowly but surely phase him in. Maybe it is just in the diamond. You keep Kareem on the field and all those times. But I think you're going to see some plays and some packages where they say, hey, we want Caden in at safety on this play, so we slowly but surely get him more reps there.
Yep, I think you said it perfectly. I don't think I need to add anything more to that, and certainly don't want to say anything that could upset a safety on this Broncos team. But I think you're spot on, Ryan. The Broncos starting safeties for week one are locked in. It's Kareem Jackson, it's Justin Simmons. Caden Stearns was so good in the limited opportunities he had last year. It would be shameful if he's not getting on the field, not necessarily taking Kareem Jackson off the field, but you got to get him on the field. He is your best non-starting defensive back on this team. And the Broncos are going to be playing a lot of nickel. They're going to be playing a lot of dime. That's how you integrate him, is through those. And he should be that guy every time.
You know how, like, at some point in the offseason, we'll probably have a conversation where we say, like, who could be the potential surprise cut?
Yep.
I'm not saying that it would be. But a lot of times, that surprise cut comes from the safety position. I'm not exactly sure why, but it's, you know, it was TJ Ward 1 year. Wasn't it Darian Stewart another year? Yep. I can't remember if he was a surprise cut, but it feels like that's a position where, you know, sometimes it feels like a guy's a lock, another guy steps up. Obviously, it was Justin Simmons who made the Broncos feel like TJ Ward was expendable. So those things happen. not predicting it by any means, but I'm saying if I had to pick, you know, some big name players who you could randomly see get cut, I would be looking at that position potentially.
Ryan, the last time that we were in the media room, which was, I believe, last Thursday, that exact same thing was said by another media member, and it was not me, by another media member. So that is something where that's out there, and you're not crazy. You're not the only one that's saying that.
Yeah, it's one of those positions where teams like youth, I think, is what it really comes down to. And I love, I mean, I'm the biggest probably K-Jack guy. Like, I think what he brings to the defense is invaluable and almost irreplaceable based on the guys that you currently have. I think that Caden has potential to be that. I'm going off of what I know, which is that position is the home to many surprise cuts.
And honestly, maybe it's Jamar Johnson, P.J. Locke, or J.R. Reed that has to step up to show, okay, you guys believe in Caden Stearns to be the starter, but now you have good depth there that you can trust with these other guys. And maybe that's what makes them comfortable going in that other direction. And that's probably not something that they saw last year from Jamar Johnson, feeling comfortable, him being the first backup. Obviously, P.J. Locke, I don't think they feel that comfortable with him. And then J.R. Reed, they brought in as a special teams guy this year.
Yeah, and Jamar Johnson is the one who, you know, was drafted. Was he drafted ahead of Caden? Am I crazy for thinking that? Yeah, he was. He was drafted ahead of Caden. Didn't really play last year. Dealt with injuries. Got off to a slow start. I think he had COVID when training camp started, which kind of put him behind the eight ball. So you never know, like, if he just breaks out this year and they say, we got to keep this guy on the team.
Ryan, and you mentioned earlier, DraftKings Sportsbook hooked you up this weekend. They also hooked me up. One of the teams that you said, if you want to win, you probably just roll with the Warriors. That's what I did yesterday. I felt bad about it. But man, one of the things that DraftKings Sportsbook does, Ryan, they gave me profit boost after profit boost after profit boost this weekend. They gave me three 50% profit boosts yesterday. So I used them all and I hit two of three, and that became very profitable for your boy. And that's one of the cool things about DraftKings Sportsbook. Look, I'm in already on DraftKings, and they don't just give things to new customers. They give it once you're in as well. Three profit boosts in one day, 50%. That's what they do over at DraftKings Sportsbook. But they do give new customers a little perk. If you bet $5 on any NBA game and you just place the bet on Moneyline, you get $150 in your account. You can bet on Miami or the Celtics tonight if you want to get in and get that money. Then, of course, you can use those winnings on the app. So head to the App Store now, download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now, and use promo code DNVR when you sign up in order to get $5 to turn into $150 over at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Also, please tell me it wasn't lost on you that, speaking of your weekend, that you posted you had bought your first jersey the same day that some random dude on Twitter was getting absolutely dragged for saying adult men should never wear jerseys.
Yes. This is my first one, though, so I'm probably not going to wear it all that often. But yes, this adult will be wearing it to park days and stuff.
Yeah, I can see you with like a neon bucket hat in like a Natter Days in your hand at Wash Park wearing that jersey.
That's pretty spot on, Ryan. What do you think about jerseys?
Oh, I'm pro do whatever the F you want, if it makes you happy. And for me personally, like, when I'm getting ready for an Avs game, I get a huge burst of dopamine as I look in my closet and I get to choose from my selection of mini Avs sweaters. Like, that's a really fun thing for me. So I like that. My thing, there's like a couple rules that I would just say, like, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just trying to help you. Like, don't wear a button down collared shirt underneath your jersey. That's tough for everyone. And don't ever tuck it in to anything.
Both of them sound like Peyton Manning moves.
Those are just tips. I'm not saying, I'm not trying to tell you what to do. Just trying to help out here. If you're going to be like a middle-aged dude wearing a jersey, at least try to, style it correctly.
Yeah, you're right. The button-down shirt under, it probably does not follow that flow of jersey rules. But Ryan, I want to help some people out by giving out our DraftKings Sportsbook pick of the week. You said it. I benefited from it yesterday. I am going with the Golden State Warriors to close it out tomorrow. Vegas isn't really learning. Golden State up 3-0, pretty easy fashion, and they are minus 110 tomorrow. So I'm going to be hitting that, and I think the Golden State Warriors sweep. I think Dallas, that last night was their last hope, and they just weren't able to hold on at the end. So unfortunately, the Golden State Warriors are going to win the West tomorrow night.
Yeah, I mean, I think Dallas was dead in the water the moment they blew like a 25-point lead or whatever it was in game two. Was that game two or game? Yeah, it was game two. Just correct me if I'm wrong here. Am I missing the part where a bunch of people are saying like, oh, maybe we were a little too hard on the Nuggets. The Warriors are an absolute wagon. Right? Are people saying that nationally? Because everyone, you know, is just falling all over themselves to shower Luka with love. And don't get me wrong, Luka's dope. You know, he takes out the Suns, which was really impressive. But no one's now turning around and being like, wow, we were pretty hard on Jokic and the Nuggets for getting clobbered by the Warriors. Now this guy that we've all, you know, crowned already is also getting clobbered by them.
And O&J in the comment section saying Luka has little help. Well,
I might just turn off my stream right now.
Jokic certainly had little help. And you know what? Game four, if you want to believe what Ryan's saying, which I certainly do, you probably want the Warriors to win this because Golden State or Dallas isn't coming back. And if the Warriors sweep them, well, Jokic got one more win against the Warriors than Luka did.
Sure did. It's not lost on me, that's for sure. I like that pick. I'll go to something tonight. Let me dial this up really quick. I'll give you an Avs bet. I already know the bet, so I just got to get the juice for you. The bet, of course, is going to be Cale Makar over on shots. He actually missed it last game, which usually I always, as the spin doctor that I am, I always view that as a good thing because you get a little bit more value on it the next game. He, you know, obviously is a huge part of the Avs offense, and I feel like there's not going to be too many games where you don't see him go over 2.5 shots. With that being said, I was wrong. They didn't give us any extra value on it. It's minus 195, which is actually pretty tough. Wow. That's a tough sell for me to tell you guys to bet it. How about this? Nathan MacKinnon over 4.5 shots at minus 125. That's better. He had, like, basically every other game he's going for like 10. So I think that's the one. I think he's of all players, if you were to rank the guys who smell blood in the water, I think he absolutely does. When you've got a team down 2-1, you can put them down 3-1 on their home ice and then get to go have a closeout game at Ball Arena. I think Nathan MacKinnon is probably the one waking up this morning saying it's time to go take care of business.
I absolutely love that. And man, Ball Arena would be popping later this week. I mean, it's going to be popping regardless, but if they can pull it off tonight and be coming home 3-1, the vibes would be fantastic.
And Owen here, I think defending his Mavericks continually saying if Brunson was the Warriors' second best player, they wouldn't be doing much. Listen, we're all on the same team here. We like the superstars with little help. We get it. If Aaron Gordon was their second best player, they would also be struggling. So no knock on Aaron Gordon, but he was brought here to be the fourth best player.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. Let's move on here. Hit a couple comments on our way out.
Absolutely. First one coming in from Melbourne Broncos says, my boys, just to clarify any confusion with my jumping the shark post, I was only explaining the actual episode, not shooting down RK for his explanation, which was pretty close for a 90s kid. I can't wait for Russ to shove a fistful of stuff, the bleep up to shut up the doubters out there. Bring it on. Let's ride.
I wasn't specifically calling you out as one of the people who were all over me, but man, people wanted to make sure that I knew that I didn't get that description exactly correct.
They certainly did. They were coming for you, Ryan.
Windy City Bronco says, RK, you almost lost me with your choice of New York pizza in the food draft. You turned it around, not just with a Pequod shout out, but brought it home with the Italian beef. Let's go. I'm feeling the love for my adopted hometown. If you're talking regional food, though, it's hard to beat New Orleans. Next time you're down there, you need to go to the Aaron Rose for po' boys. We have had some great po' boys out there. Finally, he says, it's an Irish bar off Bourbon Street. When you walk in, you'll think you're in the wrong place, but the po' boys are in the back of the bar. You'll never have a better sandwich. We will absolutely do that the next time we're in New Orleans. And by the way, Zach, it was a good run. It was a good run for you, but you got mopped in this one.
Yeah, you killed it, Ryan. I can't say that you haven't won anymore this year because you nailed it. And man, when I looked at the draft board, it was pretty clear that you were going to win.
Yeah, the only thing that I regret is that I didn't put Nashville Hot Chicken in my list. It just kind of slipped my mind. And I don't know if I should regret it. Like, would I have won by more if I had Nashville Hot Chicken, or did it, everything just work out perfectly for me? Nashville Hot Chicken, my number one honorable mention, but it could easily be one or two overall for me.
And I think that slipped all of us. And so Ryan, I was thinking about it this weekend, and I had Nashville Hot Chicken for the very first time yesterday, and boy, is it amazing!
Where'd you have it from?
Your favorite city, in Fort Collins. We were up there, okay. And so had it at I believe it was called Music City Hot Chicken, and it was legit. It was really good.
Nice. And actually, like, not even just like a regular place that was selling hot chicken,
right?
Like that. They're doing their best to make that their thing.
Exactly. And I've never been to Nashville, so I think I get a little break there. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know, in Denver, there's not that many places. I think there's a few that are starting to pop up, but it's not like there's been staples left and right in Denver.
Yeah, it kind of had a moment, though, in the last year or so where like three or four restaurants opened up. But like one of them is from L.A. It's actually really good. Dave's. There's a couple other places that I know have popped up. But it's tough. Once you've been to Nashville, it doesn't get much better than that.
I bet. And Ryan, Trey Bailey in the comment section saying, RK, check out Craft House in DC. They've got a few around the DMV area and are fun for games.
Absolutely. Adding it to the list. Gonna have to like do like a narrow down here, like a little bracket. Next one says, some people call me the Space Cowboy. My boys, I've just intercepted a coded secret telegram from Commissioner Roger Goodell and the 32 NFL owners meant for DNVR, stating that the NFL will be creating four new teams located in Mexico City, Montreal, London, and Amsterdam. The good vibes only skills of RK and Zach are tasked with creating team name, mascot, and team colors for each team. Have at it. Wow, this is... All right, we're going the Montreal Monsters.
Oh, okay.
They're like Expos colors. Kind of a nice little nod to an old team. But maybe there's like, we're sticking with those colors. Almost like a Quebec Nordiques kind of vibe there. And a nice monster logo.
I'm so happy that you're on to talk about this. This is right up your alley. But why not the Mexico City Monsters, Ryan?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of other things to start with them. Montreal, I might need some more time for this.
the London, the Loonies?
That's not a good one.
No, that's not a good one. Amsterdam, you can go with some wild things here.
Yeah. I don't know. For some reason, the first thing that came to my mind was the Amsterdam Beavers, because there's dam in the word Amsterdam.
I think you missed the ship there. A little too creative.
I don't know. We're sticking with... Jose says Mexico City Aztecs. That would be cool.
That would be cool. I like that, Jose.
I can see like some really sick design around that team.
Oh, definitely. The London Rippers or Reapers? Jack the Ripper?
Oh, Jack the Ripper. I think we'll pass. I don't know. I think we have to move on or else we could do this all night.
Oh, really quick. Jose says the Amsterdam Tulips. That sounds intimidating and I love it.
Okay.
Next one coming in from Coach Tobin says, my way too early Super Bowl prediction. Broncos 34, Eagles 24. Just what? Seems like that kind of year to me. He says, will Garrett Bowles have a solid year, or do you think he will be just blah? I think it's going to be a lot of our offensive line success hinges on how he plays.
Let me just say, if the Broncos and Eagles play in the Super Bowl, I'm going to have to get like a hotel for a week or something.
Yes, you will. That'll be a household divided.
Sure will. I think Garrett Bowles will have the best year of his career. Best quarterback of his career, dependent position.
Yep. And that's something that will certainly help him. The only thing is you're going to have to look beyond the sack numbers, Ryan. And you should when evaluating a guy's play, because Russ is going to take some sacks. I think Garrett Bowles saying that Russ isn't going to be sacked as much. We'll see about that, but I do think Garrett Bowles will get the bump from the Russell Wilson play as long as you look past just initial sack numbers.
Last thing here, Cody's been bringing it up a couple times in the comments about the Brendan Langley video. Did you see this, Zach?
No, I haven't. It's Brendan Langley gotten a... No, I haven't. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I posted it last night. At first I wasn't sure if it was actually Brendan Langley. So I was kind of joking. And then Mario chimed in and was like, that's actually Brendan Langley. Then I like looked at Brendan Langley's Twitter. He had tweeted a couple of things about it. So one person tweeted at me saying there's a longer extended cut video where Brendan Langley doesn't look quite as much in the right. But what I've seen here is that Brendan Langley gets into it a little bit with a United Airlines employee who then puts his hands on him. He smacks him. And Brendan Langley then tells him it's nap time.
Oh, my goodness. I just found it on your Twitter, Ryan Koningsberg on Twitter. And yeah, that very much looks like Brendan Langley, and holy cow.
It's definitely Brendan Langley. And we always know he wasn't comfortable going backwards. He's very comfortable moving forwards in that video.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's very clear. Holy cow. That is not good.
Yeah. And again, what I said to someone was like, damn, that guy got dropped, fired, potentially charged, and sued all in the same day in like a 30 second span.
Yep, he certainly did. And yeah, it looks like at least in this 45 second clip, he comes after Brendan first.
Yep. And Brendan says, I don't start stuff, I finish it. And
oh wow,
that's it's very clearly what he did there.
Yeah, it is very clear. And this guy got back up, wanted more. Wow.
Yeah, that dude's lucky that he was so punch drunk that Brendan was like, I'm not even going to punch him again. No, right. This is sad.
Yep. Holy cow. Wow.
Yeah. And I think that's a good place for us to finish today. Hope that no one else gets in any fights like that today.
Yeah. No, stay away from those.
Yes, exactly. All right. That's going to wrap it up for us here today. Make sure you're following Zach. He's heading over to OTAs at Zach Stevens DNVR on Twitter. We will be following along, excited to hear it, and then maybe even another correspondence from you after practice. So make sure you stay tuned for that. And of course, go Avs.
I know some landmarks we used to hit, where flying cotton would stick to your lips. Now I know those lips ain't mine. They haven't been in a long, long time. I'd like to patch it up. I wanna change your mind. Prove
Mmm. The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.